You're listening to Mondo Cool, the only Dragon Ball movie podcast that gives you a Zenkai boost.
That's right, boys. Mondo Cool.
What's up, Dragon Ballers? And welcome to the top of the mountain, the final destination, the current final episode of Mondo Cool. That's the GB Podcast Network's only podcast where we review a Dragon Ball movie monthly and rank it. I'm your host, KZ Excellent of KZExcellent.com, and with me as always are two Dragon Ball lore scholars who have survived 2+ years of this show. It's Dan and Bob, Video Games at GigaBoost.com.
I have an ultra ego. My power is ultimate.
And let's not forget, of course, Mr. Feel of Mr. Feel's Wild Ride. Kakarot!
I told you there would be a negative side effect of putting that shock collar on it for the last few years.
The button is just stuck on. it just won't stop. If for some insane reason you've come upon this episode first, welcome. This is a monthly Dragon Ball movie review podcast. This, in case you were wondering, was a stretch goal on our Patreon. And it's great. For some reason, we never went down. So we've gotten through all of it to the very end. Of course, there are plenty of other benefits unrelated to Dragon Ball on our Patreon, and Feel will tell you about them.
You'd like access to this show early.
Hey, if it comes back, you'll get it early.
Yeah. That's right.
Might have to revise this read.
Yeah, you'd like
access to this show early, you can donate to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBpodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get many benefits such as early access to any future theoretical versions of this show and Chugging Bleach, our two anime review podcasts, extended armchair dev pitches and gamer premonitions when those shows force us to leave ideas on the cutting room floor, and a Patreon exclusive show one per month where you get to vote on what good or bad thing we have to watch and talk about. That's patreon.com/GBpodcast. And if you don't have any money, you can always help us by telling your friends, and if you don't have any friends, you can join the Frieza Force and form camaraderie with them because that dude, that little tiny dude's insane, and you better toe the line so he doesn't kill you, and that'll build the camaraderie, and then you can tell them about our podcast network, patreon.com/GBpodcast.
Thank you, Feel. I know it can be pretty challenging when one show seemingly explodes. On August 15th, 2019, we drafted a list of films we would be covering, and now, 28 films later, it's early 2022, and we're all fucked up, and we're tired. we know so much about Dragon Ball now!
And yet, none of it's canon.
yeah, which is weird, but now we know. So much, man! We got lore, we know about how cool Hachiyek is!
I think this is maybe the only one that was canon!
No, we have this one, it's canon, it's great.
Hey, don't worry.
I think this was it. Is there any other? I feel like maybe a special was,
Yo Goku, yeah, that one. With his friends.
Yeah, as it turns out, that, and then they rolled the last two things we watched into Super.
So there you go.
Yeah.
But so, those versions of those aren't even canon.
Those aren't even fully accurate because they had to they stretch stuff. But hey, maybe the Big Getty Star will become canon one day, and then it'll all fucking come together.
In an alternate dimension, they never stopped it. One of the alternate universes has its own Big Getty Star that took over.
Yeah. I mean, look, they canonized one of the most popular characters ever, Broly, with this one. So surely next we're working on Cooler, and then it only makes sense.
You just start at Metal Cooler. You skip the normal Cooler.
Oh, no! Please look forward to when Deborah the Demon King teams up with Lord Slug.
Ooh, that would be awesome, actually.
Yeah, we're going to get a delicious combo here. But now, at this moment, we enter the final film to cover, at least until Dragon Ball Super Superhero comes out. I have a stroke every time I realize that's how that's written.
Yep.
This month, we watched Dragon Ball Super Broly, or as it's called in Japanese,
Dragon Ball Super Broly?
I was hoping you'd be Dragon Ball Super, that big guy. God. Just run a scheme on this one.
Dragon Ball Super. Frieza wants balls.
Not too many balls. Don't want to make it too noticeable.
Son Goku, do not let Frieza get your balls.
I don't know. It seems like a good idea. This is a real full ass film. I've taken many notes about the events. So let's dive right in. We open King Cold and his army, the Cold Force, are landing on planet Vegeta. All the classic characters are here. There's a shot of Zarbon. A bunch of them are just flying in. Ginyu Force doing their pose.
Yeah, we got the Dodoria. We got some Zarbon.
Frieza is all pink and wearing no shirt for some reason.
Yeah, why is he naked?
Look, he doesn't need to wear a shirt yet.
He's like the maximum piece of shit in this specific era of his life, where he's like, I'm not in charge of anything and I don't have to wear clothes.
Okay, is Frieza a fail son?
I mean, I did say he's literally a Florida business owner when his dad just goes, here you go. You get to run this business because I'm tired.
Yeah, that really was funny where King Cold goes, I have come here today to announce I'm retiring. Frieza's taking over the company. The Cold Force is now the Frieza Force.
And then Frieza steps forward and says, I'm going to say a slur now. Monkeys.
Yeah.
You all need to watch.
Yeah, I remember the opening trailer for this where they just do one cut to Frieza going, hello, monkey. And I'm like, well, that's exactly what I expect from Frieza.
Yep.
Just calling it out.
You know, that's the thing I like about Frieza. He calls it as he sees it.
he has some ideas.
You can hear the Confederate flag behind me.
Oh, man. Dragon Ball's dub recorded in Texas.
that is actually true. Yes.
I just wanted to throw in some pop-up video VH1 facts at you.
Please do not look up Funimation CEO and what politicians he may or not be very good friends with.
Let's not do that at
all. There's just no way to know, and, you know.
That has nothing to do with anything, of course.
So, I have to talk about King Vegeta here for a second.
Okay, good.
What is the fucking voice Sabat is doing for him? It's like Senior Card Gauge Vegeta.
It's gotta be like Vegeta, but more old, but he doesn't know what else to do.
He's 80s dad Vegeta. I don't know what to tell you.
Like the way he's mumbling, it's just like he's just Senior Card Gauge Vegeta.
I know. I've heard him do this performance at a lot of Funimation stuff when he's like, I'm not gonna do Vegeta, but I'm gonna do like overly dramatic guy. Who's always upset. But yeah, in my notes here, King Vegeta is seething because his role in all Dragon Ball media is to be the biggest baby possible. Because whenever he shows up, he never looks good. Not once.
No.
Yeah, he's always pathetic. And this movie really ingrains that.
Yeah, where it's like, oh, sure, Vegeta was like really pathetic in the first Broly film. But God, King Vegeta is just like, he's the apex of just seething baby. Frieza shows off that they're newly created scouters, which are an upgrade of the like handheld ones that they're going to show like in a later scene. And it's like you put them on and you can scan power levels, and I just put it on and I see you have four snipers trained on me, so I'm gonna blow them up now.
Yeah,
that was really neat.
Yeah, I liked that immediate flex from him. And then they immediately leave.
Yeah, it's real. One thing that's really cool about this movie is seeing like Planet Vegeta when it's at like full power.
Yeah,
it feels like a real world now more than ever.
Yes.
Honestly.
First time I saw this in theaters, that was like one of my first moments of like, oh, this is really cool. We're getting to see this really fleshed out.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I love the world building that's just littered throughout everything they're doing in this first chunk of
this is like a movie.
Yes.
And
it
advances Dragon Ball as like a franchise.
Yeah, because the other ones
and
were
has
like
ideas.
Yeah, because the other ones had a higher quality to the reason two had a higher quality to them compared to like the OVAs that we have been watching, that 13 OVA run. But then it was still like an episode of Dragon Ball where it's just there's like two locations and they're going to fight, and there's, like, a little bit of setup, and that's about it. But here, it's like, We're setting up ideas. It's like we want to introduce the scouter here so that people can be like, oh, they're going to use that throughout the film, or setting up various stuff, setting up like arcs and motivations.
I would say the difference is actually so broad and stark as to being this one's telling a story.
Yes.
Most Dragon Ball media is just like, we're going to say words now to get us to the valley we fight in.
Yeah. Yes. How can we get there? And here it's like, we're going to take our time getting to that place.
What if
before
Broly,
the 45 minute fights?
What if we built up and then established a story for Broly, which, as I've said before, of course, in the duration of Mondo Cool, having seen this before the original Broly film. That was a really weird moment when I go, he's just some guy.
He's a guy with the dumbest father of all time.
Like, and the dumbest reason to seethe ever. I'm just like, I hear Goku voice, Angi.
Yes.
Yeah, it was dire.
Not to give too much of my score away, but this movie's way, way more than Broly ever deserved.
While I agree with that, it is what Broly fans deserved because they were true to him.
They really hated this. Broly fans fucking hate this movie, Dan.
They're wrong.
The biggest Broly fan.
Yes, they
the
are.
Creator of Broly.
Look, I'm just saying, if you're a real Broly fan, you admire strength. And this Broly's way stronger than the other one, so he's the true Broly.
And also a
The creator Broly was like, no, my Broly could beat the shit out of Beerus and Whis and all those new characters.
That's so
his power is maximum.
I know, that dude's so crazy. I mean, he's like, I'd open up Beerus like a can opener.
Yeah, Broly's freaking awesome, and I'm really glad this movie exists because we got him. We got this version of him in fucking Fighters.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really good. Years later, having not seen it since the theatrical debut, getting to see him do shit that's in that game.
Yeah, that was a moment, because I had also only seen small chunks of fight scene stuff and a certain fan service gif. So aside from that, it was great to see, like, all these fighting game moves are animated.
Yeah, he's stomping his way downtown.
Yeah. Okay, so our next scene is King Vegeta goes to check on his pod child, but gets distracted by the other pod child in the room, Broly, and starts getting real pissed, like, there shouldn't be any other pod, fucking baby in a pod. This is the special Vegeta room. And they're like, well, he's like exceptionally strong, but only sometimes. Sometimes it like fluctuates and stuff.
The weirdest part about this scene is it's like, this is why is someone else here? And you get the idea that it's just a room for Vegeta. And then somebody says, well, it's a room for exceptionally strong Saiyan children. And they do the wide shot. And there are like 30 fucking pods in there.
Yeah.
But his dad's just seething.
Yeah, it makes this seem like the circle that Vegeta's in might be what he's upset about them being in.
Like, oh, you're remotely near the pedestal.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it came off like extra weird where they're like, it's for Colonel Paragus's son. And I'm like, oh, you know, maybe he'll
colonel.
Be it's a colonel. It feels like it's like, no. Even that, it's like, ew, I can feel the pore wafting off of this child.
This is a poor baby. It's ruined all the air.
Yeah, he does the scouter thing on the power level. It blows up, but then it goes back down. He's like, this is dangerous. I know what I need to do. So he calls in Paragus into the throne room, and he's like, yeah, so I'm banishing your child to a planetoid called Vampa that has absolutely no value at all. So there's just no illusion here that I'm just doing it because the child's dangerous and clearly better than my child. So I'm just going to
butt hurt.
Paragus is like, no, don't do this to my child. It's like too late. The ship already just left. I sink this up because I'm a real asshole.
Yeah, he went full Watchmen.
I'm the biggest piece of shit alive.
he's like, it's already begun. Paragus jumps out a window and flies toward the airstrip.
Yeah.
Commandeers one of the ships and basically kidnaps.
Yeah, that part's insane.
Yeah, yes. he kidnaps like a pilot or whatever named Beats with two E's and just heads off to Vampa to find Broly. And I like how farcical it is where he goes, don't worry, we'll just do this, and then you can go back after we're done. And I'm like, I'm sure King Vegeta will be very gracious to this guy that has now become an accessory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
an accessory to this thing. He's not going to think anything of this at all.
See, I was just getting mad National Lampoon vibes off of that, where he's just like, don't you worry, we'll just land there and you can turn the car right around and go right back and everything will be fine.
Paragus is an idiot, and apparently part of his plan here is to directly crash onto the planetoid.
Well, he needs to get the ship close to his sun.
He's getting the closest parking spot, no matter what.
Yes, he goes in.
Florida boomer energy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, parallel parking. What is that?
Every saying, apparently, it's just a Florida man.
It's true. It is so true. Napa is possibly the most Florida man.
Yeah. There's also, like, a lore thing where they're, like, the main way they make their... The main way Saiyans make their money is they just sell planets.
Yes.
After, like, scorching them. And I never really thought about the selling aspect of it, because all I remember, I'm like, they're Saiyans. They just kill people, and it's fucked up.
Yeah, I feel like this was in the original. They mention it, like, one time. A lot of the things in this are, like, let's take something that Toriyama said once.
Yes.
And, like... use it, actually make it an idea.
Right, make it into an actual story.
I do, in fact, like ideas and stories. They are quite exciting. We get a scene of, like, exploration of Vampa, where it's like, oh no, there's some scary-ass monsters and stuff. Like, it's Kong Skull Island. There's giant spiders or whatever that they have to hide from.
Mm.
There's the, there's the giant grass furry worm things.
Yeah, there's the beast ditches.
Yeah, where it's like they suck the blood off this patch of grass that's revealed to be a worm.
I think it's called Green Dog.
Yeah, that's true. Green Dog is an important character in this.
Yes, Green Dog.
Later fucking named Ba.
Yeah, Ba.
Fucking Dragon Quest boss ass monster.
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
Eventually, Beats is able to locate, and it's like, yo, there's the pod for your kid. They head to a nearby cave, seeing the scouter, they're able to find him. And it's like, okay, he's somehow able to, like, rip apart these monsters, but his power level's not high enough. He clearly just became a grade eight. That's totally how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Beats checks in on the ship that they came in on, and learns that their floating device broke in the crash, so they're now stunk on Vampa seemingly forever, which shows that just like the Paragus from the original Broly movie, he has the dumbest plans of all time. Because this is really right up there with the dumbass meteor plan from the legendary Super Saiyan movie.
Yeah, the meteor plan that has a very similar energy to that Scooby-Doo YouTube poop where it's just like, thank God we're in here and he's out there and you're the sheriff and the meteor will save us.
Yeah, at least this doesn't come off as actually having a bigger plan. It's just he's recklessly trying to get to his child, whereas the other one literally is, this is my deep plan.
Oh, yeah, that's an Aqua Teen plan on the fucking legendary Super Saiyan side.
Yeah.
Beats is freaking out. He's like, I'm not even a soldier. I'm not built for this. We only have 10 days of food and water between the three of them. So Paragus immediately shoots and kills him because that dude had no shot anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, all right, if we're going to stay here, might as well stretch it out as much as possible. We then get a time jump. 5 years later, Bardock is returning to Planet Vegeta after a battle. Turns out Frieza ordered all Saiyans to return to the planet at the same time.
Nothing sus here.
Bardock is talking to a guy named Leek. Yes, Leek.
Yeah.
Because it'd just be like that.
I mean, it's got to be a vegetable. We're running out.
Yeah.
Running out.
Yeah. Sometimes we're doing the second half of vegetable as a word to name character, so might as well. Bardock's talking to Leek about how he thinks the entire situation is real sussy, where it's like, if Frieza needed to communicate anything, he could have just like done like a radio transmission. Him showing up and making everyone else land on the planet clearly implies things. You do not need someone to hit you in the back of your neck to make you see the future. To maybe see this coming.
God, let him see the future that didn't matter at all.
Yes.
No.
Not even a little, because the fucking guy, his dead comrade, tells him it's gonna happen anyway.
Please don't point out the parts of that special that are bad. Don't point out the special.
Okay, thank you.
Bald State Scouter played, though. That was raw.
That was pretty cool. Mm. Well, I can play that in Fighters, so.
Yeah. One of Frieza's subordinates, Kikono, says that Super Saiyans and Super Saiyan gods are just myths, but Frieza's bored, and he just wants to watch things blow up. He's like, whatever.
Yeah, he's literally like, I'm already here.
I'm already here. We might as well.
This is the prepare. Scene where his arms become incredibly red. And I was just like, he looks like a cooked shrimp.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, second form's going to be a crawdad.
Yes. All I'm doing is just thinking of the fucking smiling friend shrimp, but it's just fucking Frieza.
Frieza told all the other people of the Frieza Force, yeah, don't go to Planet Vegeta tomorrow.
How do I look, monkey? So Bardock returns to his home, meets his wife, Gine. Who I guess runs
Gine?
Like,
I think it was a soft G. I don't know what the vegetable is here.
Yeah, whatever it is, she's like running like a butcher shop or something or something.
Well, she's a woman, and this is still a Toriyama thing, so the women have to cook. The female Saiyans cook.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. After learning that Raditz is like off world doing some stuff, Bardock gets to see a baby Goku. And immediately tells his wife, yeah, we're going to Superman this kid right now. Just immediately, just something bad's going to happen. I'm afraid of it. Despite me being someone who supposedly is not capable of love, despite having a wife and two children, this is the moment that I really want to save something and not destroy something. So we're going to send this kid off.
I spend all my time destroying. I figured I would save something for once. Like my suck-ass child.
Yeah. That was basically the sentence. And I'm like, you know, that was almost sweet until you pointed out your son sucks ass.
Yeah, and then he puts it in the pot and starts like rapidly shaking it while walking.
Yeah, he keeps like, he's practically dribbling his child on the way
out.
Going,
you gotta make him strong. Downtown.
Yes.
You hear it rattle inside like you're playing Trouble the board game.
Yeah. We got him pointing out, he's like, I specifically picked Earth because it seems like the one of the least value and there's like no good technology there. Frieza's not even going to think about this planet, which I appreciate lines like that where it's like, I thought this through slightly.
I chose it because it's green.
While baby Goku is blasting toward Earth, Frieza ignores his step, saying he's about to kill half of his entire army, and then blows up Planet Vegeta. He's
so
like, whatever, we got
Frieza
enough.
About Frieza being a Florida man, the son of a Florida man.
Yes.
Look, well, he could.
I think we need to go non-contact for a while because of this pandemic thing, boss. No, it's fine.
He couldn't find a legally safe reason to fire one of the employees at the shop he doesn't like. Definitely not racially motivated. So he's just going to shut the store down. It's not doing well enough.
I really like the stark contrast between this interpretation of the death of the planet and the one we got in the Bardock special. Where in the original, he blows it up and then just starts hooting and hollering, laughing, losing his mind over how great it is. And this one, he's like, oh, that felt good. And that's it.
This is probably like the best characterized Frieza has ever been in anything this whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like it. Of course, watching the dub, so this is like the last Frieza performance for Chris Ayers.
Yeah.
And I think he really killed it, because I'm like, I think he had a lung replaced while this was happening.
Dude, really? During this?
I feel like he was in that constant mode in that space of time. Where it's like, it seemed impossible that he was actually going to voice Frieza in this last set of super content. So it's kind of crazy that he came back. Because he did not for the game.
Yeah.
For Fighters.
Yeah.
They got his understudy for it. But it was great to see him in this, or to hear him in this. So after the planet blows up, we get the most critical scene in the entire film, where we get to see Nappa with a tragic haircut alongside young Raditz and Vegeta.
Fantastic. What are you talking about? Yeah, it's the best Nappa's ever looked.
I could not believe.
He's so dapper. It's peak.
You can't tell it's a toupee, right?
It reminds me of every time in Aqua Teen Hunger Force where Carl wears any form of toupee.
Yes, it was insane. They've done so much for the Saiyans in this, especially that thing that was much earlier on when they're checking out Vegeta's pod, where it's like all the scientists have like German accents or something.
Yeah.
I was surprised there were two other Saiyans with Nappa. Like, that weren't Raditz or Vegeta. There were also just two other random Saiyans. I was like, is this going to lead into something with this?
It looks like his bar drinking buddies.
Right.
You know?
They make fun of his hairpiece and then they die.
But yeah, seeing baby Raditz is really funny.
Yeah, that was really funny. He's like, I think my brother left somewhere.
It's really funny how they have to add that in that line, because it's like, well, if they secretly sent Goku off, Raditz shouldn't know where he is, so that we have to have his dad call him and tell him.
Yeah, just give him a text.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't seen anything to try and reform Raditz with all this other Dragon Ball Z content.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's like he's forever a dirtbag, I guess.
It'd be really weird now at this point because he's been dead in universe for 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the boat's just gone for that.
Like, you might as well try and bring back Nappa and have him become a protagonist.
I would love that. I would do anything for that.
Yeah, I actually would love that.
I want Nappa with God Key. A nebulous concept that exists here.
I mean, I just want Nappa to run a bar or something.
I'm not good with anything. Anything that gets Nappa to transform in some way so we see his mustache change.
Yes, I know.
Ooh.
Yes. It'd be really funny if he's like, no, I'm not going to fight. I have my garden of Saipamen here. We just hang out.
Yeah, that or Ultra Ego Nappa would be really good.
Yeah, I just want Nappa to have a conversation with Beerus. That's all I need. That's all I need.
Yeah,
those two in a room, have them talk, let me watch.
That are just a conversation with Bulma, so it's like, I guess you settled, huh, Vegeta?
You think I settled? She's 70, but she wished herself younger 5 years at a time, 30 times.
She's like, I want to look the exact same like age range as my husband.
This is bullshit.
Goku Saiyan Pod finally lands on Earth. They do this like nice transition as we jump to present day. We got Goku and Vegeta sparring off the coast of a secluded island Bulma bought. At least that was my understanding.
Yeah, it's pretty
like,
cool.
Yeah, she's rich.
Yeah, she's like, I'm rich. I'm buying this so that they don't fuck up a city and they can just go all out.
What a great, wholesome reason for a rich person to have an island.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dragon Ball.
Yeah. Not everything she does is seemingly wholesome, but that was pretty wholesome. Goku talks about the term Tournament of Power, shows characters from it for 5 frames, and says how they were cool and he wants to get stronger. Vegeta is pissed because Goku allowed Frieza to come back to life in that arc, which is still very farcical and very funny.
Yeah, as someone who did not watch the majority of Super, it was very funny to come into this movie.
Yeah, this is after Super was over.
Yes.
So I was like,
yeah.
It was really funny in theaters, having seen the other two movies and then this one, just going, he did that, what a dumbass.
Just the confusing concept of, join this tournament and I'll let you come back. And the fact that that was like serious.
Right.
And I was like, oh, all right. So Vegeta's a little upset about that. He's like, you know, Frieza could get stronger and come back. And Goku's like, I never really considered that, honestly.
What a... Like, yeah, I just wrote down for, like, this whole chunk of the movie, Goku dipshit moment, because that's all it is.
Yes. One after another.
Real quick note, so that way I don't miss this entirely.
Uh-huh.
Looking up information on Gine, because I'm just trying to find out what is the pun.
Yeah.
On this wiki, DragonBallFandom.com, they have occupation, soldier, formerly, meat distribution employee.
Yeah.
Do they not know the word for butcher or...
They definitely... Some of them do, some of them don't, because I took my notes after we watched and did like a bulleted points.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, Bardock visits his home and Gine at her butcher shop.
Well, at least that person knows what it means.
Yeah, I know. So that's how I know that they at least had that.
Some of them got it. Got it.
Look, there's no saying term for butcher shop. I'm sorry.
That's true. That's one of them human super words.
Yes.
Yes. An immaculate earth super word. Bulma gets a call on her Apple Watch from Trunks.
Yep.
Some Frieza goons manage to break into her lab and steal 6 of the Dragon Balls and the radar. They steal them really pathetically when they check back the security cam footage.
I think it's funny that we see them for one scene. We have the Pilaf game.
I know. Isn't that funny? They're just in the room freaking out, too. And I'm like, wait, are you guys just hanging out with Trunks?
Yeah.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
That's
It's like we're technically orphans because we're all children with nowhere to go. I guess this rich kid keeps us as pets.
I mean, yeah. Trunks is dating one of us.
Oh, please stop mentioning.
I'm sorry. That's the status quo here. So
yeah, that's.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Okay.
Well. And will it be okay if Trunks wishes himself to be 40?
Man,
let's move. Let's keep moving along.
But Dark Souls poison appears on screen.
Does she stay a child when he does that?
No, he doesn't want it like that.
Oh my god. There's so many moral grays.
Hey, I'm looking forward to how they develop this further in the next movie.
Oh, no. Because
I know they aged up the Goten and Trunks for that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, finally. Goku and Company begin their pursuit. Since Bulma knew where the final Dragon Ball was, it's on the frozen continent. But she was too lazy to go fucking put on a coat and go and get it, which, you know.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to be cold, so I've been putting it off.
She's like, I'm going to constantly gather these Dragon Balls. I'm just going to get the exclusive rights to them all the time.
I haven't given Vegeta Dome yet lately, so he won't go get it for me.
Jesus. Bulma reveals that she wanted the Dragon Balls to wish herself to be 5 years younger, but nothing too big. Because if she went too young, it would be noticeable and people would talk about how she got like a nose job and like some plastic surgery or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, the implication seems to be that she wants to like slowly ladder herself younger. Where it's like, okay, I wish myself 5 years younger, everybody gets used to that. I wish myself 5 years younger, everybody gets used to that. I wish myself 5 years younger, everybody gets used to that.
See, my brain was just like, she will be celebrating her 37th birthday for the next 40 years.
Yep.
Yeah. And then at some point, just be like of eternal youth. Just pull the trigger. Come on.
Look, Bob, no one else needs the Dragon Balls, right? Just her.
Just her, yeah.
Just her. Meanwhile, we cut to Frieza, who also needs these Dragon Balls. He's being grilled by a subordinate about what the wish will be, like eternal life or never to take any physical like damage or whatever. And he's like, those are lame. That won't make anything fun.
I like the eternal life one because the Frieza's like, no, I experienced what eternal suffering was when I was in hell. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
No, they're going to do that to me on Earth in a Walmart parking lot somehow.
Yeah. So his wish is revealed to be he wants to be taller. And then he specifically goes, I want to be 5 centimeters taller. Because if
That's
he wished
less than 2 inches.
I know. If he wished for more height, it would be noticeable, just like the Bulma thing, and said, I want to present myself like I'm still growing.
Yeah, so he's going to have to capture these Dragon Balls every 5 years and do that.
Yeah, that killed me. And the fact they're like, well, your second form is like 7'5". Why don't you just always be like that? And he's like, no, I just want to be a little taller on this form and my gold form.
Yeah.
I was like, this might be the best scene in the movie.
This movie introduces quite a few new characters.
Yeah.
One of the strangest ones is like, Frieza now has a grandma?
Yeah, I think her name is Berry Blue.
Her name is Berry Blue, and she reminds me of Paper Mario, where they turned Kamek into a grandma, mm-hmm. and she just hangs around Bowser and, like, gives him advice and shit.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
I liked how they were like, we've made 2 new assistants that are not only here, but one of them was in the 41-year flashback, because she's, like, in the start of the movie as well.
Yeah, she's in the background.
Yeah, maybe we won't vaporize him this time and we'll just have some characters for Frieza to bounce off. Weird.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm like, all right, these work. Like they get the job done.
And Frieza's just like, you have guessed correctly, Berry Blue. I bet you guessed faster than Mountain Dew Spark could have. And then it cuts to some guy that's pink.
God.
God, now I'm just imagining her like robe thing just has a Faygo logo on it.
Frieza's new assistant, Moon Mist.
Ooh. We're now gonna cut to 2 new characters. We have Chi-Lai and Lemo, who are scouting out people for the Frieza Force. Chi-Lai mentions that she stole a Galactic Patrol ship, so she just joined the Frieza Force to not go to jail. Which, I don't know.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
It's a plan.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem entirely wise with the context of Frieza, but whatever. You know, you stay in the background as much as you can in that case.
Yeah, you stay in the background. You nod your head whenever Frieza mm-hmm. walks by. You say, yes, Lord Frieza.
Yep.
And then Jocko won't go anywhere near you.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to assume she robbed Jocko, and that is specifically what happened. Chi-Lai and Lemo get this distress signal from Vampa and then land to investigate. They find Paragus and Broly. Paragus looks all super old and fucked up and losing his mind. Broly is super jacked. And the two realize they're going to get a really dope payday if they deliver Broly to Frieza. And it's like, hey, we got a big Saiyan. And then Chi-Lai attempts to teach Broly what packaged food is.
Chi-Lai almost immediately wants his cock. Like, it is really obvious.
Yeah, they go all in on the Tarzan thing here.
Really? I couldn't pick it up at all?
it's kind of hard to tell with her going, yeah, these suits aren't so bad when you get used to them. Let me pull out my collar and lean down.
When this movie came out, I think my Twitter feed showed me that gif 100 times. People really like that she stretched it out.
It's the animation quality that's what they're really interested in.
Yeah, and also the shots later that focus on her ass. But after they show off they do like the bit with the food, all that stuff. They introduce the two Saiyans to Frieza, talk about Broly's insane, uncontrollable power, but it's okay. He has a slave choker that electrocutes him through remote.
Yeah, he has a literal shock collar.
Yeah. He's got the shock collar set up. Chi-Lai and Lemo are paid in fountain pens, and they're like, this is a lot.
Wow.
This is great.
Look at these uranium rods.
It's like latinium from fucking Star Trek.
It's really neat to see the currency of the Frieza Force. Like, it's another one of those, just, mm-hmm. this is a random world-building thing you're doing, thank you.
And I'm like, wow.
I'm so glad they're not coins. Like, the fact that it's just metal poles, I love when things are, you know, it's like how Fallout has, like, bottle caps for, like, currency. I like when it's a different type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was neat. Frieza then points out that Vegeta, full name Vegeta the Fourth, is still alive, which makes Paragus really, really, really mad, ready to get revenge. And Frieza points out and says he is very excited that he is going to win without having to do anything or exert himself at all. All right, we move on to a scene in the mess hall. Between Broly, Paragus, Chi-Lai, and Lemo. It's mainly Paragus showing that he's a shitty dad. Like, we're not here to talk. We're not here to talk or anything. Some drunk asshole busts in, tries to instigate a fight. Broly begins getting ready to just destroy him, going sicko mode.
He's literally about to tear that man's arm and leg off.
Yeah,
it's,
I know.
It's so funny because all of it's about respecting Chi-Lai's, like, you know, autonomy, because he's just like, hey, Chi-Lai, how about you come sit with me instead of that obviously abusive drunk dad and his idiot son? And Chi-Lai's
like, son who has the biggest tits in Dragon Ball history.
She's like, yeah, let me think about this real hard. No.
I could swim in that man's titties. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Paragus electrocutes Broly. He's like, hey, please do not rip someone in half in the middle of a mess hall.
No MMA in the cafe.
Yeah, yes. after this, like, Chi-Lai gets really, really pissy and is able to distract Paragus and steal the Choker's remote without him noticing, because he's also very stupid.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
I mean, we also have to play off Chi-Lai as the sort of Lupin-esque able to steal stuff character.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, you're literally staring right at her, dude.
Yeah,
you're
having
a conversation with her.
Yeah.
He doesn't respect women, so he's not really paying attention to her.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm too proud to look down.
Also, Paragus sucks. So
He definitely sucks.
This entirely fits within the character and being absent-minded enough that I'm going to crash a ship into a planetoid. Paragus leaves to go meet with Frieza. He's like, Frieza's like, he only wants to talk to you, as they start scheming. So we get a scene with Chi-Lai, Lemo talking with Broly, introducing the concept of water Broly gets to talk about Ba, a monster from Vampa that he was friends with, but his dad's like, no, stop being friends, and then shoots the thing's ear off, which ruins the relationship, and Broly like skins that and wears it as like a pelt.
Yeah, because Chi-Li touches the pelt and he freaks out, and she's like, what? And then he's like, this is my good friend. Ha! And she's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, it's like everything was good until Broly's racist dad came in and just ruined everything.
I noticed a lot of your stories end like that, Broly.
Yeah, I think that this backstory thing for Broly might be more than we get for basically any Dragon Ball Z character. I'm like,
No, you got Zarbon's rich backstory.
Yeah, sometimes he gets huge.
He's beautiful, or is he?
He will be in the reveal trailer for Super Dragon Ball FighterZ, and I will pop off him and PyCon. Let's go. From here, we finally cut back to Earth's ice continent, which they say the ice continent is cold in the Japanese subs. And I'm like, thank you. I really appreciate how literal we have to be here.
Ice is cold.
Yes. Frieza's shitty goons found the last Dragon Ball. But around the same time, they see Goku and Vegeta's ship land, and they're like, we need to get out of here. And then they fly off, and I'm like, oh man, is there going to be like a chase? No, Vegeta's going to immediately shoot that shit out of the sky.
Yeah, it was fucking hilarious. They go, bzooms! Vegeta just nonchalantly looks at it and blows it up.
Yeah, then Goku
it's
jumps.
It's cold, god damn it.
Goku jumps onto their windshield like a serial killer and starts nose breathing directly.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you want to play King of Fighters? They're like, ah, hit the gas!
They're like, we're so fucked, dude! At the same time, Frieza gets the beep of, they got the last ball, and he's like, hyperspace button! Immediately shooting in. They arrive on the scene. They're like, it's time for us to hype up this fight. Broly's gonna take on the Earth Saiyans, and he's like, leave Goku for me. Which doesn't necessarily work out, but he's like, I need my revenge. Paragus starts talking shit. He's like, you're all gonna die because of what King Vegeta did. And both Goku and Vegeta are saying and go, what is the sins of the father bullshit? Like, who cares?
Vegeta's literally like, I haven't thought about my dad a single second after he died. L for you.
I feel the same way as I did when I was 7.
Which is fair. The King of Vegeta sucks.
Yeah, don't care. Plus ratio. This commences the beginning of the rest of the movie, the fights. We start with Broly fighting Vegeta. And looks good. Vegeta generally has the upper hand throughout this. Transitions into Super Saiyan. Starts really pounding on him.
You know, there was one moment I wanted to cover real quick. Sure. When Paragus is, you know, sins of the father and all that shit, Goku's trying to calm him and Broly down. And he's like, come on, brother, we're all bros here.
Yeah, okay, yes, there was that. Come on, can't we all just get along as us fellow Saiyans?
It's like, do me a solid, brother.
And I'm
Paragus
like,
is just Goku, like, what?
Goku, you've met 3 other Saiyans total, and 2 of them tried to kill you. All 3 of them tried to kill you. 1 just stopped eventually.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why this is the funniest card for Goku of all people to pull.
Look, Goku always believes in second chances.
Yes. Yeah.
In being brother.
And third and fourth. And fourth and fifth.
Because he needs them all with Chi-Chi. Yes.
Jesus. But yeah, they're...
Yeah, this Vegeta fight looks really nice. It's the only time, I think, in all of these movies, Vegeta doesn't just job.
Yeah, and just in general, it looks really sharp and nice. This is one of the animators that started doing stuff in Super toward the end, where they're like, this is the best guy you have.
Yeah.
Where it's just this amazing-looking animation just going throughout.
Yeah, no, this movie from here on out just looks amazing. There's so few shots that don't look amazing.
I felt dizzy during one part that I'll point out later where I'm just like, what the fuck? Whoa!
I also want to point out that Vegeta and Goku both put on jackets that are very cool.
See, yes. That's why they needed to say they ice really was neat. Cold.
Yes.
Yes, they had to put on the really nice jacket so you could see the immediate transition of them taking it off, entering this fight.
See, that's the thing. You thought it was because this place was cold. That was a misdirect. It's actually because they sensed the drip that Broly had coming down, and they're like, oh, shit, we better get new outfits, too. Otherwise, we're going to look stupid compared to that guy.
Vegeta expresses that Broly is learning and adapting as he fights. He eventually goes Super Saiyan God to get things fully under control. And starts taking down Broly. And it's like, oh no, Broly's losing. And even Frieza says, like, we might have to pack it up. I don't know. It's not necessarily looking great. But
yeah, Frieza seems really uncommitted to this endeavor, honestly. He's like, I have shit to do.
He's like, I have not done this time.
Elden Ring comes out in like 4 hours. Like, I thought this would go quicker.
Yeah, honestly.
It's really great because it's like, well, yeah, his witch doesn't even matter that much at all.
Yeah, I know. Like, he's looking for some slight gains here. But at this point, Barry's like, we're gonna call him back, you know. But unfortunately, there's no button to electrocute this man anymore. So Broly begins powering up, losing control, and entering what the Dragon Ball Wiki told me is called his Wrath State. And thus we go for another round now that Broly has powered up to his Wrath State. Vegeta starts getting worked a little bit, but not too bad. He doesn't, like, get it really bad in the way he does in various other films, because Goku immediately just gets fed up and tags himself in.
Yeah, we don't have a scene of Vegeta just in the Yamcha pose or anything.
Yeah, thank God.
We don't have a scene of Vegeta in the Family Guy fell down pose.
Yeah, I don't need anything like that manga where it's like, he achieved Ultra Ego. He dies in the next chapter.
Christ.
Or just gets completely worked. This is the part where we enter the Goku versus Broly section. I was not spoiled on the soundtrack for this film.
Oh, it's so good.
And how they turned it into a sporting event of them going, Kakarot!
Yeah, it is so good. The theater I watched it in was alive.
That was amazing. Like, the fight already looks really good. They do some really cool perspective shots where at one point they're showing the fight from Broly's first-person perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So you see his hands, like, firing shit off, and I'm like, this rules.
Yeah.
When's the Broly FPS coming out?
I don't know. You know, that Dragon Ball RPG Cyber Connect made should have been this.
This Broly is the closest to Doom Slayer we've ever been.
That's true.
Because he tried to glory kill that drunk dude, so... Paragon's like, no health pickups.
Oh yeah, as they keep fighting in this, the song eventually just literally starts going ole ole, and I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, they start screaming out special attacks that they're doing.
It's Kamehameha!
It's so ridiculous. I was like, when I was thinking back, I was like, did I make that up? That seems insane.
That's totally dude.
Maybe the speakers were broken that day at the theater.
Yeah, who knows?
I was like, was that real, or did we summon that with our energy as a theater audience?
It's what you wanted, so you got it.
Yeah. Wish fulfillment.
Yeah. So the fight, real back and forth. Eventually, Goku goes into Super Saiyan God form and just uses this, like, this cool hand movement paralysis technique on Broly.
I have to ask, we don't see Super Saiyan Blue in this. Is this thing better than that?
We do see Blue.
Yeah, we do see Blue. Goku and Vegeta go Blue.
They flash to it, but then they go to this red form.
No, they go Blue.
No, they go Blue later.
Yeah, Goku's going to go Blue after this scene.
Okay.
Yeah. As of right now, he's just trapping Broly in his God key.
Right, I thought that they didn't say Blue for like full fight until the very end.
Yeah, no, they do it for a little bit coming up here.
The director of this just wanted as much transformation porn as possible.
Because he has a fucking idea what Dragon Ball fans want.
Yeah, it's like, I really enjoyed, like, how they animate transformations in this. Vegeta going to Super Saiyan God, his hair turns green.
Yes.
In the transition.
Yes.
And later when Goku goes Super Saiyan Blue, they make it look like he's almost becoming Ultra Instinct for a moment before going to Blue.
Yeah, I was also disappointed I didn't get to see Ultra Instinct here because I haven't seen it in the other thing.
That's okay. We could just play more fighters.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that is true. But Goku's trying to calm down Broly and saying, like, you don't need to be forced into this thing. You're clearly not choosing to have this fight, that type of thing. It's like, oh, you know, he's trying his best here, but Broly's
the wow, it's like interesting characterization for Goku.
Yes.
Crazy.
It's just not the thrill of the fight.
It's
he's like
come advancing
on, man.
Him as a character.
Yes, it's very nice. Broly's power's maximum, though.
That's
true. And, like, his energy overtakes Goku's vibe, so, like, Goku's just completely under control for a moment. He corrupts his aura to
turn it green. It was real cool.
Yeah, it was like, oh, wow, he's literally going with Broly can learn this technique just by it being used on him, which is crazy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is this before or after? There's a part where, like, Goku's like, I'm going to hit him with this energy ball. And Broly catches it and then crushes it and it shatters like glass.
I'm trying to remember where that was because I took shitloads
of notes.
Insanely
cool.
Yeah, that was sick. It's right up there with the various other parts I like where the drunk dude tries to punch Broly and just does nothing. It's just like a solid wall. This is the part that you kind of go to a Broly thing for where he just completely works Goku the entire time. They recreate the smashing him into a wall and just running across it and the entire time focusing on Sean Schimmel's screams of pain that are comically
great.
They're
the exact same scream! They're the same scream! Doing the same yell over and over!
I know, it's great.
This scene was killing me because, one, Sean Schimmel is doing the exact same yell over and over. He's not even trying to do a different yell for each one. Two, I'm just imagining Frieza watching and just coming in his pants because it goes on so long.
Yeah, it's great. He does the giant swing of just beating Goku up like he's Bam Bam.
This is also where we see the stomping, right?
I think the stomping was a little earlier, but that stomp is so good.
Yeah, where he's just trying to stomp his skull in.
Oh my god, what a good
move.
He's
like, I'm gonna
roll! Yeah, we get the Bam Bam thing, we get the head scrape, we get all sorts of stuff.
Yep.
We get knocked into lava.
Oh yeah, it keeps going hard. Piccolo Skypes into Goku from the brain, says, hey, this is pretty rough, man.
Unbelievably funny Schimmel delivery of, yeah, he's strong.
And Piccolo's like, I'd come over, but I don't think that's gonna matter much. He's like, do you have any beans? No. All right, well, we may head over there if things get worse. He's like, oh no.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's a good way to break up the action a little bit of a conversation. Then Goku's like, fuck it, let's go Super Saiyan Blue. And this next section just becomes this cataclysmic, like, fucking blockbuster event.
Yes.
As they start busting out insane levels of CG and smoke effects to say this ice level is now a volcano level as we decimate everything.
Yeah, they switch in and out from CG and it looks pretty good here.
Yeah, it does. It looks really good. Everything's so hyperactive.
There's a part later in the movie where the CG maybe doesn't look quite as good. But in this scene, it looks fine.
Yeah, this looked immaculate to me of just watching an entire mountain shatter like it's a million pieces of glass.
Yeah, it really helped when it's like the background. The main reason they did it is to match well with those backgrounds that are CG and blowing up. It felt like.
Yeah, and when they use it on the fighters themselves, the camera is whipping 300 miles an hour.
Right.
It's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, good job. You figured out if you're going to use CG, have it move so fast. They are a wholly distinct frame. Every frame.
Yeah, just the way CG's handled in this for the most part, I think is great because you're never gonna I'm not pausing this movement and it's whipping around really fast, so I feel like it just works real well. I love the realistic smoke that was used also in this scene of like a tornado.
Yeah, it's so fucking cool.
Like it immediately reminded me of some of the CG stuff they do toward the end of the Ava rebuild films.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, this is what is going on?
My favorite part of this lava fight, Broly grabs Goku. Goku bites his hand.
Yes! I like the part where this cataclysmic shit's happening. Frieza puts up a shield. Paragus eats shit.
Yes, it's one of the things where I'm like, wow, this is a really great characterization for Frieza because he doesn't even say anything or respond. It's just, purple bubble goes around me.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody else can worry about themselves.
Yeah, that's really good. And then they're like, oh man, we should probably get Bulma's ship out of here. Or we should get, like, at all the general places. Like, can we leave? Can we go?
I'm like, yeah, why is Bulma here?
Yeah, and the Frieza ship ends up moving out, and he's like, okay, put the Dragon Balls on the ship. Because for most of the beginning of the fight, Frieza is holding all seven Dragon Balls just through telekinesis as a flex. But that stuff gets moved in. The stage has now changed to this volcano level. At this point, Paragus is just going, there's no chance here. The Super Saiyan Blue is just too good. Frieza, in a stroke of hilarious genius, remembers that Goku became a Super Saiyan when he killed Krillin. So Frieza decides to kill Paragus and say, a stray shot that you fired, guys. You killed Broly's dad.
It was definitely Goku, though. It was definitely him.
Yeah, we're gonna lean toward that. This very small baby shot hole
was one of you, Chads.
Yeah, it was
you've ever shot any beam this small, right?
Right, Broly.
Goku, very well known for index finger energy beams. This works. Broly unlocks his Super Saiyan form, and it looks incredible. 18 filters are happening at once, and he's creating a giant dome of energy and starts blasting everything.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Paragus' last words are, oh no, King Vegeta might have been right. And I'm like, don't give him that credit.
Right?
Neither he or you, nor you deserve this moment.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like King Vegeta didn't think this out.
Yeah, he was just coping and seething as he shot your Chad baby into space.
Yes.
But that's pretty good. Those are his last words.
Yeah.
What
pretty
an
much.
Idiot.
Yeah, what a fucking idiot.
He died as he lived. Stupid as hell.
Yeah, I know. Fucking all forms of Paragus suck in the way that all forms of King Vegeta suck.
Yes.
Vegeta the Fourth. Our normal Vegeta is mm-hmm. like, all right, we need to. Goku's gonna die, so he immediately also goes blue and is like, all right, we're gonna try and fight him together, and it's immediately not working very well. They start flying around dodging it, and they're like, okay, we're gonna fly over here, and they fly past Frieza, and as if it's a bullfighting thing or trying to pull aggro in an MMO, it immediately makes Broly start beating the shit out of Frieza because he has no control anymore.
This was the best part of the movie.
Yes, it was. Where he's like, have fun, Frieza. And Frieza's like, no.
It was really
so fucking
great.
Funny. It's just like, have fun. Goodbye. I'm gone.
And yeah, I did not expect this. That was so good. And Goku's like, hold on, Vegeta. And then they just immediately instant transmission to Piccolo. And they're like, we need a break. And then they crumple to the ground, and it just looks so great.
It is really good.
They are so spent by this point. Which I'm like, this is just so delicious.
Are you sure? Are you sure you don't have any Senzu beans? No.
It's like, no. We have to go through the bit that we have maybe seen two or three times already. I think just in Mondo Cool of, you want a fuse? It's at least in like 5 points in all Dragon Ball media where Vegeta's like, I don't want to do that. I know we did it before, but I don't want to do that. But this one's different. You dance in this.
That's lame. I don't want to dance.
Yeah. And then he eventually says yes, because that happens every time. And then we get what I think might be my favorite form of them fucking up this fusion. Not just because they show a diagram of the degrees that they were wrong on one of their attempts.
Yeah. He was 45, you were 60.
But the fact that they mess it up twice to do the fat and skinny form and say, wait 30 minutes, each time, smash cut to Frieza getting worked.
Frieza getting destroyed.
Yeah, it's just like a literal hour of that. It's great.
Like that, like the image I spoilered.
He even went gold, and he's just getting worked.
Yeah, because this is... They had to scale up, and they're just like, okay, Goku and Vegeta collectively maybe fought Broly for 20 minutes. Frieza, though, he gets an hour of fun time.
Lucky him.
Yeah.
Eventually, Whis has to tag in and be like, you know what, I'll just dodge for a while.
Yeah, because at the very end,
Whis also wants to fuck Broly based on what he says and his facial expression.
Yeah, that is what's all. That is what's usually going on. The fusion is eventually successful. They're like, we need to give a name for this because, you know, we've only done Vegito in terms of, like, canon material. I did not write down what their other names were. But they were, I remember they were like, this is just wrong. But Gogeta, that'll work. We'll run with that.
And this is the same form that shows up in Janemba, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, because they do the callback.
This is the making of canon.
Yes, I have a note about that.
Yes. Oh, man, that is such a good callback.
Oh, yeah. They teleport back in. It's time for them.
Whis makes, like, the funniest, oh, my, I've ever heard.
Yes. And it's like, here we go. It's time for the big fight. Let's go.
Oh, it's but time for the song to start going, Broly, Broly.
But there's
Gogeta, Gogeta.
Yes. There's one really good moment where Frieza's just like, what is this? And Gogeta's like, we combined. And he's like, that's not fair.
Yeah, he's like, come on.
It's really damn good. Then the song
cuts
he specifically says,
actually, it multiplies our power. And
it's not
Frieza's like, fucking
good.
Bullshit.
Yeah, what is this bullshit?
That makes no fucking sense. They're like, whatever, dude. We're going to turn Super Saiyan and start fighting Broly.
But yeah,
the soundtrack goes insane.
That song is so good because it's like, Broly, Gogeta. And I'm like, oh my fucking God.
The fight starts going in really hard. That soundtrack's popping. They get punched into what clearly to me looks like the weird dimension that they're in the Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi intro.
Yes.
In the middle part where it's like Kid Buu and Goku.
See, they went into a Windows Media Player MP3 visualization.
They cracked the universe and found the purple visualizer.
Yeah, it's the
and
exact
I was like,
same
what the
vibe.
Fuck is this? what is happening?
Yeah, I know. They're just in this alternate super space, and then they just fight in there for like a minute.
Yeah, this is where
this
my notes
is the dimension
just go
where
into,
the CG maybe isn't so good.
This is where my notes go into all caps. Just multiple notes in a row. This excerpt's really good. It's real good. A great punch.
Yeah, I was fine with the CG throughout this movie, probably because I saw the other two movies that came out before this.
Yeah, it's not even close, but, you know.
Yeah, it can, of course, improve, and they're trying that with the next movie just being all CG.
I thought this looked awesome.
Yeah, I was losing it.
This I honestly like CG more in this scene just because they're in this hyper-stylized space.
Yeah, I feel like everything they're doing here, it's like it makes sense to do the CG. And CG for like Resurrection F or Battle of Gods, it was they were doing hyper...
Those were really bad.
They were really slow movements that were happening for the fighting. So it was just kind of like we're substituting animation here and there. Here it's super high speed with really good camera work that it just feels like, yeah, this justifies it and it also looks good. So I was just really into it. They eventually like break out of that. And then God, that part just kind of just blew my mind of just like, wow, this is going insane.
Yeah. And then they crack back to reality. Whoop, the gold graphic.
Yes. Gogeta enters Super Saiyan Blue mode.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get a cut to Chi-Li and Lemo running through Frieza's ship of the Dragon Balls because clearly they're like, we don't want Broly to die because he didn't want any of this. So.
Yeah, the whole time she's running, you know, she explains how she can fix him.
Yeah, she's like, I can fix him. This is my shot.
I can teach him to read.
Mm-hmm. While that's going on, it cuts back to Gogeta easily besting Broly and then hitting him with the sparkly orb, which is the reason why Fusion Reborn's ranked so high on our podcast.
Yes, it was so good seeing the sparkles come out and form a rainbow orb, and I'm like, yes!
I'm like, yes!
Yes!
Your vibes are horrendous!
It's so fucking good!
I feel like Gogeta kills him like 8 times in this sequence,
yes,
but he doesn't actually die in any of them. It's even more fucking insane in the next one.
Oh, yeah. It is crazy how hard it just keeps going on that. Chi-Li summons the dragon by holding the second assistant at gunpoint. And it's like, tell me what the instructions are for doing the wish. Let me read the notes. Just make a wish. Oh.
It's like, oh.
Oh,
that's easy.
Oh, that seems pretty simple. That's and like at this point, you would think it would end. But thankfully, they're like, we still want to draw more. So they're like, let's just have another
like,
fight sequence.
Another final attack.
Gogeta does like this fucking like bizarre fighting game move that crucifies him. Like, he punches him a bunch and it forms a cross.
Yeah,
that mounts Broly to it.
He did like a Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan Falcon punch over and over into his body.
Yeah, he puts his arms out and just does the does that grand cross.
It's so good.
The entire sequence of him whipping around a beam to fuck him up is 100% recreated in Fighters for the dramatic finish.
Yes,
and it's, they nail it in that there too. It is absurd. It just keeps going and going and going, and then Gogeta prepares his final attack, the, as the Dragon Ball Wiki calls it, full force Kamehameha.
Ooh.
fires it off. Chi-Lai wishes for Broly to be returned to Vampa, which makes it so that Gogeta's finisher just doesn't hit. He teleports out at the nick of time, which brings an end to the fight. And Chi-Lai and Lemma are like, we're just gonna leave.
we're gonna beat the streets.
Yeah. And
Frieza.
Yeah, we
Frieza's like, I'm just gonna kill you. And Gogeta's like, no, you're not.
Yeah, he immediately targets them. And it's like, no, that's not happening. Frieza's like, well, I'll be back.
Frieza becomes the crying Wojak, and is like, I'll be coming back for this planet someday. And then gets back on his ship.
The only way this movie would be better, if then he just threw the sparkles at Frieza, and Frieza just exploded.
there's really no reason for them to let Frieza live.
Yeah,
but I guess like, we don't, look, he's popular and we don't need to come up with another way to bring him back to life.
He is very entertaining, so I can see why, but I like that it's like, no one thinks at all about killing Frieza. The next Frieza scene is him genociding a planet.
Yeah, right.
It's only used as a background while he talks about, hey, maybe if they fix Broly, I can just get him to join again.
I really do appreciate that energy Frieza had in that scene where Gogeta's like, no, because he almost becomes that guy from Hey Arnold. who gets karateed and his pants fall down, and he's like, come on, man.
I just wanted to know where the bus stop was.
And then he just shuffles his piss baby ass back onto his plane and leaves. It's so good. But yeah, no, genocide, yeah. That's a good background set dressing.
Yeah. That was...
And Broly will join us someday, and then I'll really own them, and yeah, this is gonna work out. It's gonna be great. And everyone around Frieza is like, okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, put him back to bed.
fucking Chi-Lai and Lemo arrive on Vampa, and then they get to meet with Broly, and then immediately Goku shows up. He's like, hey, I brought you housing, food, water. I just want to fight Broly sometimes. They don't want to trust him, but they're like, he's like, I just want to punch every now and then.
They're like, how the fuck did you find her? And he goes, yeah, as long as you're not too far away, I can find you. I can sense your energy. Yeah,
more serial killer Goku energy popping up.
And then he says the iconic ending line.
Yes.
My name is Goku, but Broly, you can call me Kakarot.
And then boom, that is it. That is the end of our film.
Theater erupts. Everyone's happy. They blew a load in their pants because they just saw a good Dragon Ball movie.
Yeah, I did. That's why I had to leave the room. Clean up time. But that is Dragon Ball Super Broly. A film so hype looking that it made a podcast idea appear. Again, that they really is funny that me and Phil basically did not watch the full version of this film because the talks of Mondo Cool existing happened around that time.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I was like, well, I haven't seen it. I guess, I mean, like, I'm not like, I already hadn't seen it for several months after it being out. I can just not see it until it's time to do the show.
Yeah, totally fair. All right, we're moving on to our segments. First up, the Yamcha Award. This is a prestigious award that we give to the fucking most pathetic, worst thing character. Sometimes it's a concept when it's really dire. Of a particular film. Bob, you get the honors to pick the first one.
I mean, it obviously is Paragus, right? Like, there's no number one choice other than that.
Aaron, you're right.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't miss.
All right. Dan.
I'm going to say purple guy in the cafe. He's a real disappointment because he didn't respect women. I'm like, come on, guys. I know you're evil, but Come on.
Respect the women in your own organization. That's all we're asking.
It's not that hard. It can't be that much of a sausage fest around here that all of you need to hit on Chi-Lai in the worst way possible.
Yeah. Feel, you can go.
I'm going to say Frieza, because if you make this face, you deserve the award.
Yes!
I'm going to die.
God, there's so many good frames in this fucking movie. Oh, God.
Now I've got... I had two options I wrote down in advance for this.
Mm-hmm.
My first one, Jocko. He was clearly robbed before this film started. I feel like that's pretty pathetic. But my other one that's actually in the film, King Vegeta.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Always.
The first, you know how pathetic he is in the first 2 minutes of this film. It's kind of crazy. And that entire scene in the pod room is real bad. Of just him seething at this poor Saiyan. It's like, surely it can't be as good as I got the best blood.
What are you? What do you mean? It's a Chad baby.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a Chad fucking paint.
Oh no!
I'm gonna launch this baby into a wall, and then somebody had to say, "Hey, can't you launch it into space instead?" And he's like, "Okay, sure."
Our next segment, the most exciting one, the most exciting version of this ever. This is our segment where we decide who in the movie we just watched could defeat Jiren. This takes place afterwards, so it should be very easy for us to have options this time, and because they will be a definitive yes. Dan, who could be Jiren?
I imagine Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan Gogeta could defeat Jiren. I'm imagining that's probably the case.
Yeah, that's a lock.
I don't think Jiren can handle the sparkles, no.
No, his vibes are horrendous.
They really are.
I'm gonna go next. I'm going to pick Broly.
Yeah,
right. His power is maximum.
Yeah, I feel like once he reaches that Super Saiyan form, it's like the only thing that was like truly working him was Super Saiyan Blue Fusion.
Mm-hmm.
That had $1 billion attached to it. it was insane. The fucking 10 animators slaved for 4 years or whatever to make that. Feel like this, it's no problem. Feel,
I'm gonna go with Chi-Lai. She'll lift his wallet and he'll be hit the store and be like, where's my wallet? I have to get groceries. And then that will be so emotionally devastating, it'll just be over.
I thought he couldn't afford his medication. Like, you're gonna say, yeah, obviously he has diabetes. She lifted his wallet and he succumbs. It's like, damn, Chi-Lai, that's cold.
Do what you can. Bob, what do you got?
I'm going to go with Frieza, because he went toe-to-toe with Broly for an hour.
That is true.
I don't think Jiren has that stamina.
That, you know.
You know, it's good enough.
That's a pretty good reasoning there.
The only thing else I had written here is Ba.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't die. It just had its ear shot off, yeah, so maybe.
And I was like, man, maybe those aliens have a Zenkai boost type mechanic as well.
That's true. Maybe they get even more cratery.
Yeah. So that gets us through the Jiren segment. Now, we take the villain of the movie we watched, and then we bring together any character across the Dragon Ball media that you're like, I think this can handle it. Whether it's original Z, Super, GT, who can beat Broly? Feel, you can start.
I'm going to say Dabura can beat Broly.
Because
Dabura has the spit that turns you into stone that seems to just work no matter how powerful you are.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So he's my pick.
Okay. Bob.
The correct answer is no one can beat Broly. But I'll choose one to, you know, because we have to do a segment. It'd be silly not to.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Kid Buu. Because he can turn them to cookies.
Okay.
Just doomed. Yeah.
But doesn't Gotenks as a cookie kick the shit out of Kid Buu? I can't remember.
Vegito as a candy kicks the shit out of Buu.
That's true.
Would Broly just be in shock?
Yeah, Broly wouldn't be able to figure it out.
He's like, what? That's fair.
Dragon Ball Super has been adding a lot of really bad characters in the manga.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, there's a goat man. His name's Moro. He's fucked up.
Yeah.
And then they were like, here's a new arc where this anti-hero exists called Granola.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is dumb. I have to give it to the newest villain that is apparently named Gas.
Yes.
And it proclaims himself to be the strongest warrior in the universe. And he
fucking
looks like
that manga is such dog shit. Those villains are the worst. Are the worst fucking bad. I'm gonna post these motherfuckers.
Please okay, post them. I can't.
They are the Christ. Worst fucking characters I have ever seen. They need to cancel that manga.
Okay, let's see.
This is what they're coming up with.
Oh, that's terrible.
Gas is the one on the left in the bottom panel. He's the strongest guy ever.
Oh, that sucks. These are bad.
Yeah, these are bad. What the heck? They these look like they made a creator for yes. Xenoverse.
Yeah, they do.
These are worse than like any original villains the series, the games, or fucking like heroes or whatever has come up with.
Yeah, just when I do a wiki dive and they're like, this is Gas. He genocided the planet Cereal. And I'm like, fucking stop it!
Jesus.
That's my pick. Dan.
Okay, so you know how sometimes in a Looney Tune, they can put a hole on the ground and their adversary will walk over the hole and then fall in? Yeah, so I think Garlic Jr. could... could easily get his ass in the dead zone. He wouldn't even have to trick him. I think it's that simple. I'm gonna say that. I'm gonna say Garlic Jr. just opens the hole and Broly himself just walks in. He's not a bright boy.
It's unsure what he intended to do.
I don't think he could break out.
Well, they broke the wall of reality once.
That's true.
Yeah, I do have to wonder if it works the same as the hyperbolic time chamber, where if you scream loud enough, it breaks.
Yeah, yeah. Where Boo and Gotenks both scream loud enough.
Here's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
I would say instantly, if Goku and Vegeta are fighting him in the dead zone, yeah, he'll break his way out. But that's because he has an occasion to rise to.
Oh my God, yeah, you're right.
And that's Broly's whole thing in this movie, is he rises to the occasion. You stick him in a room, he's just going to be like, I'm in this room.
If there's no stressor here,
right?
There's not going to be any reason for him to God, that's...
I can't believe
how do you have a compelling reason for him to be stuck in the dead zone?
He's just in the kids' corner at a dentist office waiting.
Also, the dead zone, I think it like shocks Garlic Jr. And Broly hates being shocked. Though he'll just go into shock the entire time.
Oh yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, there was like some effect there.
I don't know. He was laughing the whole way in, saying he's not owned. So I'm really uncertain.
I think he says the exact owned. Same shit owned. In the fucking arc too. So bad. Well, we've done our segments, which means it's time for the most important part. It's time for us to properly review this film. We have a scoring system that can go from 0 to 7 for a maximum score of 28. Then we can tabulate it, put it in our grand finalized rankings for the moment. I'm going to start with Phil. Give me your review for Dragon Ball Super Broly and score.
This movie was great. It looked really nice. It advanced Dragon Ball as a franchise and introduced new characters that I care about and would like to continue seeing in future Dragon Ball things, which I feel like even despite its best attempts, Dragon Ball Super, the anime didn't really do.
Oh, yikes.
Oof. And it furthered pretty much all the characters in some way, like actually gave them stuff. So yeah. I'm going to give this a 7.
Okay.
The highest possible score.
All right. We're going to move it over to Dan.
This is a fucking 7. I've been saying it since episode 1.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I'm like, let's just
I came
get
back
that
to watch
way.
This and I'm like, man, it looks even better than I remembered. Holy shit.
Yeah, seeing it on Blu-ray for the first time was nice.
Oh God, was it ever. Yeah. It looked nice in the theater, but I remember even in the theater, I'm like, there's so much going on. I can't wait to see this on a really good TV. And holy crap, does it hold up.
That was delicious.
It looks so stellar. The comedy writing's better than ever. Like them leading Broly into Frieza to wail on him for an hour is the funniest.
Yeah, I know.
It has almost that tone of Yo Son Goku and his friends are where like this is serious, but Frieza getting pummeled is supposed to be a joke. Like that's why he's making faces like that as he's getting hit.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be the great payoff where earlier in the film he says, "I won't have to do anything this time," and then gets worked the hardest of any other character.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's like a really good payoff and comeuppance. There's a lot of really good stuff there.
Yeah, so the beginning is written like a movie.
there's a story it's trying to convey, which is nuts.
Yes.
And it looks incredible once the fighting starts. And the soundtrack is killer. And the comedy's hilarious. It's everything. I literally can't entertain the next Dragon Ball movie being this good.
Yeah,
I hope it is, but damn.
Right.
What a high and unreasonable bar to hold things to.
I'm like, hey, at least get a 5. Bob, what is your review for Broly?
Yeah, this is the first one of these that's a movie.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that is correct. That is correct. There isn't 45 minutes of an ending on this one.
Yeah, it's just great throughout. Looks amazing. Like Veal said, it furthers the timeline of Dragon Ball. You feel like they fleshed out parts of the universe they'd never touched before. Yeah, 7. Great. Amazing. Please, more.
Yum. This movie's great. I've never seen it all the way through before. It was fantastic. Visually, it is stunning. I like all the world-building stuff, especially in the early parts, fleshing out stuff like Planet Vegeta. All of the new characters I really enjoy, even Frieza getting like some new minions that aren't just immediately killed for no reason. The fighting looks absolutely immaculate. And it's just nice to see things like move forward. It's also kind of why I'm excited for the next film that isn't released yet, because they're aging characters up. So yeah. that type of stuff I always like really, really appreciate. But this is like immaculate all around. I really, really enjoyed it. So it's going to get a 7.
You know, one more thing.
What?
I really like that there's no point in this movie where it's like, that doesn't make any sense. That's stupid. Why do you let that happen? Like in the last movie where Goku gets shot with a gun and it works.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I don't have to give give any rope to anything here. The most I have to do is go, man, Goku sure is a dipshit, huh?
Yeah.
It's great.
Also, we need to bring these up because this is Mondo Cool.
Okay.
There was no oolong.
Ooh.
Oh, man. I hope we get CG oolong.
There was no camping. none of these tropes we saw for the first 2/3 of the series show up here.
Yeah. As it turns out, the simple premise of someone seems to be hunting for the Dragon Balls. What if we just intercept them?
Yeah. No, it's... And yet they still have cool stuff like, you know, establishing Bulma owns that island and this is where they come to spar. So that way it's safe for the people, you know, elsewhere and all these other things. Like there's lore being established and we get to see them in their off moments.
And I think this is the only one of these movies where it feels like no one else showed up, but that's fine. Like,
oh, yeah.
There's no moment of, why isn't Gohan here? Why isn't Krillin here?
I mean, even Piccolo says the thing of, what, yeah, I have no chance.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, you don't need to do that because I would much rather a character not be in if you're just going to make them get worked.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are so many different locations that they jumped between, and they did a really good job of saying, we're going to just glass this area so it just looks different to the degree where if you watch a trailer, you just assume they go around a bunch of places.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, the ice area just becomes the surface of the planet. Like the core of the planet is just on fire.
As a dude who watched all 3 of these films, you know, the last ones, in theater, I was not prepared for this.
Yeah, no one can be prepared. It's like when you watch the end of Super, you watch them progressively get better action sequences, and they're like, here you don't have a deadline,
mm-hmm.
So you don't have to be choked week to week. Go all in, and then they definitely did. That was crazy. But that brings the score of this film to a perfect 28.
Yeah.
Out of a possible 28 points.
And it's the 28th movie we've reviewed on the 28th episode.
Wow.
we've managed it. It's all come together. Now we just gotta tabulate these rankings.
I actually already did it.
That's good.
I was like, it was actually really easy since it went in at the top.
Yeah. You know, usually it becomes very complicated.
Oh, yeah. No, usually it's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, but thankfully, we've been able to put that all together. Let me click into this thing real quick and then run down over 2 years of our lives. So here is our list, our top 29 Dragon Ball films. Jesus Christ. I hate the bottom of our list so much. I'm sorry. Okay, coming in.
First off, the bad range from 29 to 23. Plan to eradicate the Super Saiya people. A Raging Blast 2 bonus feature. And then number 28, A Hero's Legacy. That was the Dragon Ball GT thing that I've forgotten most of.
Understandable.
Number 27, Path to Power. That's the Dragon Ball retread that rips off the Cell Saga.
It's the movie that retells the Dragon Ball series. It's the only one, we promise.
We'll see. At least on this bottom chunk. Then, Plan to Eradicate the Saiyans. That thing that is not as bad as the other one, but feel still says the most pathetic thing ever because it's still fucking awful.
Yeah, it's the other one, but it took its normal pills. That's why they're not the Super Saiyan people.
Yes, we really just combed the barrel for these
films. It doesn't
films.
Have to be the part that's advertising an NES game.
Then we got number 25, Bio Broly. God. Number 24, The Return of Cooler. We were very demotivated when we watched that movie. Then we got History of Trunks at number 23. Mm-hmm. Then we hit the next chunk of movies that aren't as evil. We've got number 22, Wrath of the Dragon. Then Bardock, Father of Goku. Then Dragon Ball Evolution. Then Tree of Might. Followed by Sleeping Princess and Devil's Castle. And then at number 17, Broly Second Coming.
There's a Broly in every tier in our list.
Oh, no!
That's perfect.
Oh, my God. We're now in the green zone. These are like the middle of the list. It's where stuff got almost approaching a score that exists.
Mm-hmm.
We got Curse of the Blood Rubies at 16, followed by the first Broly movie, Broly the Legendary Super Saiyan.
Very smart plans in that one.
Yeah. Then taking up number 14 and number 13, Resurrection F and Battle of Gods.
Yeah.
They did not crack our top 10.
God, no. They only got to the middle of the list. Jesus.
Yeah, they made it to the middle of the list, right above them. Mystical Adventure. That's where they recap Dragon Ball.
Oh, they did that in a movie? I didn't even know.
One had apples, though.
Yeah, this had Dr. Slump stuff going on in it.
Which was a buff. Ararla was there.
Yeah. Fucking mercenary Tao. Fucking Jobs.
God.
Then episode of Bardock at number 11. Beating out the other Bardock special. It was funny. They went Bardocku a lot.
Yeah.
Then World's Strongest at 10. Bojack Unbound at 9. Number 8 is the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie.
Yeah.
Which we included for some reason.
Yeah, that feels about right.
It's so that Superhero could be our 30th thing in the ranking list. Then number 7, Cooler's Revenge. Number 6, Fusion Reborn. Number 5, Lord Slug. And then entering our highest scored films, the cream of the crop, Super Android 13.
Yep.
Dead Zone, which dominated for most of the runtime of this entire show.
Yeah, it did.
It was eventually dethroned by the almost immaculate Yo! Son Goku and His Friends Return special. And now, our number 1 Dragon Ball film. The foregone conclusion, Dragon Ball Super Broly. A thing that you said before we even thought about recording the first episode, this will win.
I'm like, this is the standard. I now get to revisit all of these movies, understanding what a good one looks like.
That is our top 29 list of Dragon Ball films. We did it. We did it. We effectively caught up on some sort of anime type thing. We did it.
There's the ranking.
It's
we can
all
look
it.
At it.
Yep, you it's can look there. At it. Be prideful in it.
What a good movie.
Yeah, I know.
It's always nice to end off on a good movie. You
right,
know?
We didn't end on...
Thank God we didn't end on, like, Battle of Gods.
Yeah, right.
Or, yeah, definitely.
A Hero's Legacy or Path to Power. That would have been depressing.
Definitely don't want to do that. Of course, to close out, we're going on a break. There's no movie we can watch to do next month.
Yep.
It's premiering in summer over here, so probably around fall is when we're actually going to get a Blu-ray release of the next one. But we're going to need a next time on what we're watching next.
I don't...
Let me...
Do we know enough to even do that?
I just don't feel to write something, so...
We do.
Okay. All right. Let me... All right, here we go.
The Red Ribbon Army is back! With more androids and Gohan will do things. Do, do, we hope.
Do, do.
Next time on Mondo Cool do, do, in do. 6 months. Dragon Ball do, Super do, do. Superhero.
Do, 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 do. Scooby-Doo-Doo.
What a fucking horrible name.
Yeah, that's terrible.